Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Malad Mohammed live on your Block Talk Radio, coming to you at 7 o'clock p.m. And it gives me great privilege, and surely I'm highly honored to be able to do so. But you take time out of your busy schedule when you want to talk to humanity. It's a gift. It's not a luxury. It's a gift. And you're not obligated, but you choose to try to give back that which Allah gives to you. And that is to be able to have the ability to see matter. Matter you can't see with your physical eyes, but you can observe it very distinctly and clearly in the consciousness of the mind of the human being. It first has to hit your soul, and it touches your being of the picture of the nature in which you have been created, and then it sends a message right to your intellect. And your intellect is governed by God. It's called your taqwa, your God consciousness, and it allows you to be able to understand what Allah wants from us. For Allah is the God, and doesn't mean anything else. And some people refer to him as God, some people refer to him as Jehovah, and some people even call him Jesus. But Allah does not challenge that which you say out your mouth, because you can say things out of ignorance, you can say things because you're emotional, and you can say things because you don't even give a damn. But Allah knows your heart, and that's how he judges the heart of the human being. No one else can judge the heart of the human being. You can't see the heart and why it beats, why it pumps blood to every vital organs of the intellectual mind. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing when you take those little things that you think is insignificant, and you'll find out it is very significant. If you do that, brothers and sisters, you're able to make it in this society, because we as a people must struggle. We must struggle to be able to get to the hereafter. We must struggle to be able to prove to God that this jinn that's in us, it's not superiority over us. This jinn that we talk about and we think about, but most of us don't even have concept of what is a jinn. And that's because we don't teach it. Some of us can't teach it because we don't know what to say, how to say it, and why should we say it. We should be very consistent on anything that Allah says. That we all read the Quran every day. Some read it sometimes in the day, sometimes in the month, and sometimes for the rest of the year. Sometimes we pick up the Quran, but we don't understand that we're walking human Quran. That's what Aisha, may God be pleased with her and grant her paradise, she said when they asked her the question, who is your husband? He said, my husband is a human walking Quran. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Adameen. But most of us don't understand that, because no one teaches you that when you speak of the prophet, you're literally speaking about yourself. He's the perfect example. Well, how could he be an example if you're not studying him, if you don't understand him? And so I understand that religion was given to us. And because religion was given to us, we had a habit of believing that which they taught us. And you love it so much, you grasp it to the point that you will give your life for it. But Allah's knowledge evolves. And it doesn't evolve if it stands still. So yes, the Jews had a book, and that book is called the Torah, the Injil. And that book was the first book that came out to enlighten you what God is all about. in that book, they chose the father, Moses, Abraham. They tried to be able to embrace that which he gave them and allowed them to see why God is great. Now, we don't have time to go deeply into what that all means because I could spend 2 months talking about that. But you have an idea that the Torah was created first. You have the idea that the Jews got the words first, and you have the idea they believed they was the chosen one. And they had everybody turn towards Jerusalem because that is God's city. But when you use words that is God's city, then you limit God, because what about the other cities? What about the other states? What about the other countries? Well, Allah is over top the entire universe, so you can't put them in one country. You can't put them in one state, and nor could you call it a city of God. It doesn't work like that, brothers and sisters. But no one enlightens us and instills us and motivates us what God says. Now, the Torah, brothers and sisters, was permitted by God. Allah, subhanahu Allah glorifies his name. It was for them to do right. Right is God. Call it whatever you want. If it's right, Allah permits it. But he also allows you to say things that's wrong. And an individual have that ability to accept it or reject it. So most of those costs, the Jews accepted it. But then they kept it for themselves. They kept it for themselves, so Allah had to take it from them in the sense of the word, allow them not to multiply. And because they couldn't multiply no more, Allah had to send Jesus. That was his mission. In Revelation, they said Jesus came to cut down the fig tree. The fig tree. Now, you can understand, they say, who is that? George Washington cut down the tree, the cherry tree, or Abraham Lincoln. Whoever it may be, that white man cut down that tree. But the tree in Revelation has nothing to do with something physical. It has nothing to do with seeds, but it got your attention because the fig got more seeds than the apple and the pear and any other fruit got a lot of seeds. Seeds represents knowledge. So Jesus was created to stop that for multiplying. And then here come the good Jews that decide to create Christianity. Now, I know you don't believe that Jesus, pardon me, you didn't believe that man, like the Jews, created Christianity. But they did it out of good intention. But then when Christianity started going astray so bad that they had to come up with another book, they called the New Testament. Now, if the book is from God, why would you have to write a new book? Allah says, it is religion you want, man. I'm going to create it for you. But I'm going to make this religion perfect. And I'm going to call it Al-Islam. So Al-Islam was created for all humanity. You, most of us, says that book is just for the Muslims. You're right, but you don't grasp in your mind what is a Muslim. And because you don't grasp in your mind what is a Muslim, you think the Jews is not a Muslim. You think the Christians are not a Muslim. You think the Hindus, the Buddhists are not Muslims. Why, brothers and sisters, you think the atheist is not a Muslim. If you would put it in proper perspective, you wouldn't say that. Because Muslim is the nature of the creation of God. Well, let's talk about the human nature. The human nature will never change. for whatever you choose, and you have a right, and whatever religion you embrace, you have a right, cannot change the nature of that individual. He's human. That insect lives in their habitat. Creation by God, submits to the will of God. The bees, the birds, they all submit to the will of God. The stars come out at night because Allah wills it. The sun comes up and down religiously. Only Allah brings it up. Only Allah brings it down. The moon, the stars, the seven seas is Allah. His whole earth, Allah says, listens to me. So his whole creation submits to him. So if, in fact, you understand that, they all are Muslims. But you, out of ignorance, want to take their nature from them and say, he or he is not a Muslim. See, he is not in Judaism. See, he is not in Christianity. See, he is not in Islam. You can be whatever you want to be. You can set whatever religion you want. Allah said, I created Islam and I perfected it to be perfect. And I suggest that you accept Islam. So he didn't make us. He didn't dictate to us. For him, he provides and he call you to Islam. But you have the right to reject, but you're free. So there's no compulsory in this religion. For if you go out there and try to force this religion on anyone else, you'll be punished for it because Allah don't force it. He's the Lord of the world. But that's your ability to make it in the world, to accept and reject. And that's why Satan do not like us. The spirit, you have lost it. And when you lose your love for one another and you don't have faith anymore, you can't stand upright. Who do you soldier for? Do you soldier for the Navy, the Army, the Marines, the Air Force? Who you soldier for? Or do you soldier for God? Because if you soldier for God, you can handle anything, whether you're the Navy, the Army, the Marines, the Air Force. If you can instill in your heart and you can be able to understand that the heart breathes Allahu Akbar 24/7. And Allah is closer to you than your jugular vein. But we don't go to him and we don't ask him for anything. We just believe we're going to do what we want to do. We're going to do wrong when we want to do wrong. Now, most of us have done wrong. Matter of fact, all of us. But what about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yes, he did. Why? He's human. Well, he's perfect. Yes, he is. I thought no man is perfect. You're correct. But put it in a proper perspective. Muhammad the Prophet spoke to all humanity, and it wasn't his words. His words was from the Holy Quran in the Arabic. Al-Quran, Arabic, the language of God, and none of them knew that language, even Arabs. So we are confused that we use Arabic because it sounds closer to Arabic. We got so hung up on our foreigners that we believe that the Quran is called Al-Quran Arabic. So what is it? That's the language of the Arabic. Can't you understand Italian? Can't you understand Swahili? Can't you understand Japanese? Well, you really can understand, but you know the difference ain't your language. Well, you speak English. No, the Quran is not endless. What man wrote in to get you understanding in these very different languages that comes written in the Quran. But that Quran, brothers and sisters, that Holy Quran is in Arabic. And because it's in Arabic, it changes the whole concept of being man's language. So Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, decided to do what? Teach us what God gave him for 23 years. That is to recite the Holy Quran. He's perfect. He's perfect because he taught you what God said. Nothing else. There ain't no cut on it. He can't claim it. He's a messenger. He's a messenger of Allah. But we cannot call him a messenger. No, brothers and sisters, you can't call him a messenger. He's not taking a message from you. For he's a slave servant to Allah. Call him a prophet because he prophesied the present and the future through the Holy Quran. Yes, he's a perfect example. So if we would understand that, we wouldn't make statements that don't help us any. You can't ask or tell a man that we read Arabic and Allah teaches us Arabic. Now, I know your heart not saying that. Your heart is saying, no, I want to say Arabic, but I don't know how to say Arabic. And because it's so close to Arabic, I say the Quranic Arabic. That's what our foreign brothers in the Far East call Mecca, want you to call it Quran Arabic. Isn't that amazing? But you can't trick us today. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said something very profound. He said, can you fool a Muslim? He didn't say, can you fool the FOI? Can you fool the LOI? He didn't say, can you fool the MGP? He didn't say that. He said, can you fool a Muslim? Not nowadays. Well, why not nowadays? Because then we was in black. Today we know what a Muslim is. A Muslim submits to the will of God. And so therefore, in our deeds, in our action, in our moral concept, we submit to the will of Allah. When we make salat, we submit to the will of Allah. When we make our dua, we submit to the will of Allah. When we think of Allahu Akbar, we are submitting to the will of Allah. That's a Muslim. I would like to do that. Can you fool a Muslim? Not that. Cannot tell me under any circumstances that you're going to call the Holy Quran Arabic. No, brother. If you're going to say it right, sister, you got to say Arabic. Arabic. Yes. The Holy Quran is Al-Quran, Arabic, not Arabic. But we have these men that runs around and they want to get out front. They want to do this and what. When we was brought up, anyone asked to do something, they say, the Honorable Muhammad used to say, if one seeks the post, he shouldn't get it. I never forgot that. I don't ask nobody to give me anything. But if you give me, I'm come running. And I accept if you give it to me. So, yes, I am back in person with some stimulating discussions that may can help you. Tonight's discussion is what is jihad? Jihad is the spirit and the strength within oneself against sin. Yes, we should understand that. And that's what I'm going to speak about this evening, because we thought jihad was just, let's go out and war against the enemy. But your appetite is your enemy. So we say with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the Lord of all the worlds, we thank Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for giving us a mercy in Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah. And we thank him for his outstanding achievement in serving you, Allah. May the peace and blessings be upon the Prophet and his sinners and his companion. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa sa'ata wa salam wa sawasu alayhi kareem. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sadakallah wa adeem. Brothers and sisters, tonight I am trying to express what I've been seeing, and it's disturbing me. It's disturbing me that my wife, my doctors, and everybody say, what's wrong? Are you grieving? And surely I had three relatives, one, two, three, back to back, passed away. Are you grieving? And surely I had sisters and brothers that hurt because those their babies. Are you grieving? Or do you have pressure on you? Because pressure can crush you. Well, no, I'm not grieving, because nothing comes in this world without his will, Allah's will. And nothing will leave this world without Allah's will. So therefore, I'm too intelligent to grieve. I'm intelligent to give up on God. If God is the creator of life, and if God is the creator of death, then how we get confused when God makes no mistakes? So life is beautiful and death is beautiful. But you don't understand death. But you understand life, because you're awake. If you listen to me, you're awake. If you can hear me, you're awake. You can't hear me if you sleep. And you can't hear me if you're dead in this world. But more important, you know that you're alive, so you are very, very ecstatic because of that reason. But let me ask you a question. What about death? Why are you grieving over death? Because you don't understand that this is a temporary world. You don't understand that Allah says, first come difficulties and then comes ease, meaning you got to pay a price to struggle to prove to Allah that you are qualified, bona fide to get in the hereafter. Yes, he's going to judge you, but he's going to judge you from your good and your bad. And if you got 51 cents good, you made a paradise. Yeah, you slide in, but you made it. But if you flip the script and got more sins than good, you ain't going to paradise. You don't forget that. And if you only 20% good, you're on your way to the hellfire. Because you chose to not even come to God and beg for his forgiveness. For he's most merciful, all forgiven. So you go to Allah. But we are living in this world today, brothers and sisters, and we don't have a clue who we are, what time is it, and where you're going. And most of you today is over 40. And then when you hit that 60 mark and that 70 mark, you got 1 foot in the grave, 1 out. Why would you want to go back and do what you did when you was a child, when you was a teenager, when you didn't give a damn? 40, you should have it. 40, you should be able to maintain your sanity. 40, you should to understand what time it is. Because apparently you don't know what time it is. And I know you heard it many times, 40 acres and a mule. But isn't that something that you really believe that America should give you 40 acres out of 30 million people? I don't think so, with that many acres around. But do you really think there's so many mules around that we all supposed to get one mule apiece? What are you going to do with that mule? Because most of y'all live in apartments. And half of y'all live in a house. And very few of us live on some land. So what are you going to do with that mule? But if you put it in the proper perspective, you will understand very distinctly, very clearly, that 40 acres is aches and pains going through 40 years and trying to make it there. So when you make it, you're a full man now. You lived a lifetime on this earth. But if you don't understand the struggle you've been through, you don't understand the sin you made, you don't understand you begging for God, you don't understand the reality of what life is about when you get 40, you become stubborn as a mule. There it is. Nobody can reach you. Nobody can talk to you. You don't want to hear it. You just get up in the morning and you just move those legs and you move them arms and you make decisions and you think that's going to last. No, we all got to leave here. But Allah, some of Allah, is merciful. And his mercy is you don't know what time you're going to leave. But yet, pray that you wake up. But when you leave here, you don't die. You don't die. For today, we put so much emphasis on the grades, we now teaching it and in the masjid. And that's what the prophet tried to do, is keep them away from the grave. Today, they're reading script like they're in Hollywood, just reading script. And when you read that script, brother, that's not your writing. That's somebody else's mind dictate to you to put us back in the grave and make us believe that we have to sit up in the grave. To make us believe that we have to answer questions in the grave. And whoever teaches you that, there's only two reasons. One, he's being paid to keep you deaf, dumb, and blind. Or he's just stuck on stupid and don't know. Now, Allah don't charge a man with what he don't know. That's why it says, don't try to teach the Christians or the Jews of the Quran. Judge them by their book. Because there's good things in the Torah, and there's good things in the Bible. So use what they love and what they know. But you cannot teach them the Holy Quran. Because they don't want to hear the Holy Quran. But Allah doesn't judge them by any book. Allah doesn't judge them by their actions and their deeds. Allah judges them by what? Judge them by their heart. And I like using this metaphor, and I'm going to use it, but I'm going to be consistent with it. Yes, on repetition. The woman will tell you to get out of that house. And you angry, you will leave. But you get out there and you stay too long and you find someone you think is better than her. But yet she's crying. You say, well, why is she crying? Because she didn't mean it. It was emotions. But you accept it. So you rejected 20 years, 30 years, 40 years of a wife that does not have a husband because you kept moving. Now, was you wrong on both parts if you read the Quran? Yes. Because in our religion, you're supposed to stay there for 30 days. And when that, 90 days, when that 30 days are off, I divorce you. Now you got to stay there for another 30 days. And keep in mind, she got to treat you like her husband, but no love making. She got to treat you, you have to treat her like a, she's a good wife. So a good wife treating a good husband and a good husband, you have to do that. But you can't touch her. So the next month, I divorce her. But you got 30 more days, buddy. And in that last 5 days, she might shake her hip the right way. She might blink her eye the right way. All of a sudden, all the goodness come back. Before you know it, you're making love to your wife. That divorce is out the window. But if you go those 90 days and you say, I divorced her, that's a divorce. But why did Allah, want Allah say you got to be there 90 days? Because absence makes the heart go fonder. But if you're there and days go by, you seem like you want to forgive her. And vice versa, she wants to forgive you. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. And I'm saying to you all, every last one of you, you should understand that if you would follow the Holy Quran, it would be a better world. It would be a better world for you. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad only had third grade education. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad became an alcoholic when his wife was making all the money. He couldn't take care of his children, but he came home. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad cleaned himself up by Farad, the only foreigner that came here and said, we are the lost and found. He found us. And he brought us back to our nature in which we was created. So in the first for 43 years, we was acting in our nature. There's no way a group of people could have came together and did all what we did. Trucks on the road, our own farm, halal, our own food, bringing in ships from Peru, fish America never saw. Barbershops, beauty shops, clothing stores, supermarkets, all over the whole country. And we never begged anyone for anything. And no, the Honorable Muhammad taught us. He said, why do we love the devil? Because the devil gives you nothing. So when someone comes bearing gifts, we say, I'm not interested. I ain't work for it. Why would I want it? I'll make my own money. And if I work for you, it's because the honest they work for the honest they pay. I ain't there to cheat you, con you, and trick you. Just pay me for doing my job. And I'm satisfied. Oh, brother. Now I'm Elijah Muhammad. We should never, ever forgive him. I know a brother who did a movie called The Portrait of the Muslims. And it was all the brothers and sisters from Newark. Tears was in their eyes because it brought back the old time when we was together. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, even Stevens. And we got married. Okay, how young you was, I was only 16. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us to get married. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us don't take nothing from anybody. If you can't read it, you do not eat it. He had a saying. If you're in doubt, check it out. Brothers and sisters, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the only fearful man that this government feared, so he took care of him and made sure it wouldn't be a guerrilla warfare or holy warfare in America. And today, it is some pea brain or some unintelligent individual that was raised by a foreigner to tell you he committed shirk. Well, he couldn't have committed shirk, brothers and sisters, because if he had, why did he say, I didn't come here to teach you religion. For one after me, he teach you your true religion. There it is. So he said openly he bear witness that Allah is God. But he gave us a little bit from the Quran. But he offered it. He offered it so we would be able to survive. Meaning, Ramadan, the 2 years, comes on 4 seasons. He knew that we could not withstand those 4 seasons because sometimes you have to eat at 8 o'clock at night. You're not telling that black man that never fasts in his life. So he gave us a holiday. It wasn't in a hot or in a fitra, no. But he gave us a holiday called Ramadan because it was the shortest month. 4 o'clock, buddy, sister, you was eating. So he was merciful. You don't feed a baby steak. Steak tastes good to you, but the baby has no teeth. He can't digest it. So you got to give him baby food. So we didn't go down to Saja because he know a lot of us ain't bowing nobody. But we stood up, upright. Upright. We call it Qiyam today, but we was vertical. We was upright. Surely I turned myself to be, oh Allah, trying to be upright to he who originated the heavens and the earth. I am not of his of polytheism. I'm not a polytheist. Hey, man, we weren't about to be about around the polytheist. My life and death is all for Allah. We prayed that prayer. And there was no other name in there. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was smart. And to bring you out of that slavery mentality, he was able to allow you, which was the greatest thing could ever be, you are not going to eat that pig. And all of us grew up with the pig. Man, we like them pork chops and them ribs and anything else. Now, my mother couldn't afford guts and liver and all that. She didn't feed her children because she couldn't afford enough food to feed 5, including herself. Alhamdulillah, I ate all that. But we ate the pig. Nobody told us the pig wasn't no good. But the Honorable Muhammad came along and said, rat, cat, and dog, 1% poison. So 99% poison that animal ran around. But we stayed away from it. We couldn't even touch the dead carcass. So they used to make pigskin gloves, pigskin coats, pigskin pants. It had holes in it. We didn't touch it. And we ate anything that had lard in it. And we didn't eat their chicken. We didn't eat none of their foods. Hey, that was a big dip in America. No, we didn't do Halloween. We didn't do Easter. We didn't do Thanksgiving. And our major fast month was Christmas. Brothers and sisters, how could you not love him? So I'm not here to teach that today. Why Minister Louis Farrakhan was in love with his brother, Ibrahim bin Muhammad, just like Isaac was in love with his brother, Ismail. But if you go really read that story, you will see why they separated. And guess what? Ismail became the messenger of God. Isaac became the messenger of God. To show us we is not dirty that Sarah gave Hadi the permission to make a baby. To have a baby. She can't make it on your life. Makes babies. But you can make whoopee to my husband. And today you suffer as individuals. You want to leave here because why? You think that is just for you. But yet you got a worldly man can help so many people, but you're selfish. You're evil. You don't want that. Oh, that ain't for us today. How do you make Allah limited that Allah would say to you, oh, I made a mistake. That was 1,400 years ago. Oh, my God. So why are we sinning? And we let these people in our community now and sin and tell us anything because you don't understand. Imam Wallace D. Muhammad, I'm a student of Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. Imam Wallace D. Muhammad said, brothers and sisters, there's nowhere in the Holy Quran you see Allah says, let us make man. Who is us? Why Allah needs you to make man? But then they took it a little further. They said man came here first, and he had to put the man to sleep to pull the rib out of the woman out of his rib. But he didn't want to hurt him. So all that's saying is God made a mistake and left Eve behind. So he had to have it. Now, he ain't got no wound, but it came from the rib. And when he woke up, he saw her. That's kindergarten. It's a lie. For Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, never said, let us. Who is us? And he never used the word man. Because if he used the word man, man would have been here. What happened to the female? What happened to the woman? So Allah didn't call them no man. What did he call them, Rob? The Khalifa. See, because they couldn't say Khalifa, they twisted around and said man. But Allah said, I made the Khalifa and they was one, male and female, one. Now, brothers and sisters, I can talk about this for the next month or two on that same subject, but I'm going to ask you a question. Did you ever read, I'm waiting, I'll put $1 million up. If I don't have it, I'll go to my brother and get it. I'll put $1 million up. If you can tell me what compression was Adam and Eve. I will give you $1 million if you tell me how tall was Adam and Eve. And you can tell me what nationality was Adam and Eve. And you can tell me how long was her hair. How beautiful was his face. How handsome was he? How beautiful was she? Can you tell me that? Ain't a man on this planet can tell you what Adam and Eve looked like. Because if Allah drew that picture, then all of us want to look what? Like my mom and my daddy. Well, even one Muhammad says, you are the type of Adam and Eve. Type. Big difference. Meaning it's our bloodstream of our Adam and Eve. But they are created to punish the world. So one man and one woman had sex. And look at how many billions of us today. If you believe that, something is wrong with you. It's because everything you take is physical and it's not physical. So that means Adam and Eve is the bloodline of every human being, whether you like it or not. Yes, that Jew, that Christian, Buddhist, you name it. That red man that y'all call white man, that brown, black, yellow, they all are the children of Eve and Adam. That is. There is. Get out of that spooky stuff that you're doing. So what they're doing now, they're putting you back in the grave. You're in the grave. But look what's happening. Just make money dressing them up. Coffins cost 3,000, 5,000, 10,000. Then you got to widen it because the guy is a big guy, so you pay extra money for that. Then you want it to be comfortable, so you put all this cushion inside because it costs you a lot for that. And then now they got horses that can carry you. They got hearse that can carry you because you can't walk. Because why? Earth is dead. So in order for you to bring that mud into the church or into the masala, because we don't have places to go, or the funeral pile, you got to carry it. Is that amazing? You got to carry it. Then you got to carry them. Some puts it on their shoulder, and they carry them to their grave. But then they got to put it down in the grave. And then once they put it down in the grave, they lock it up in a, so the ants and the insects and the worms and everything else down there can't eat it. So now they got to work. And I know what they're saying. You human beings are so highly unintelligent. You make us work to get in there so we can eat that flesh. Why? That's their meal. Why? They got to regurgitate it back into the earth. So the earth, where it come from, brothers and sisters? You ever know where it come from? Well, let's just look at it. When Allah sent the angels, I can't take you too far because we don't have all that time. But when Allah sent the angel Jabir down there and bring him some earth, he molded and shaped that earth. But when the Iblis got him up and saw that statue, that mud, that dirt, that clay, he turned to the angel Jabir and asked him, who is that? What is it? And who is he? Well, he didn't know. I don't think he said, who is he? Who is that dirt? Let's put it that way. He said, that's Allah's new creation. And he went through the mouth, out the other end. You know what the other end is. And he said, that hollow clay, because that's all it was, hollow clay. So we wasn't born in that earth. We wasn't born in that earth, and the earth was dead. Couldn't move. So Satan, Iblis, so-called Lucifer, yes, he said, I'm not bowing down to that mud and dirt and clay. Go take that earth and put it on your kitchen table and say, Mama, this is something that one day is going to talk to you. Your mother is going to tell you what to do with that dirt. So it wasn't a shame that he said, I'm not bowing down to that mud and that dirt. While Allah said, wait a minute, Iblis. Wait till I breathe into Adam, nostril, my spirit. Well, what did God breathe into that earth? The spirit. You didn't get it? The spirit. And once the spirit came into the earth came alive. And when the earth came alive, look what the jinn said to Allah. He said, I'm not bowing. And the angels followed him, not the original angels now. No misconstrued. That means there were more jinns up in heaven. Had to be, because it said the angel. But the original angel, they didn't have to verify that, because they was created to do nothing but the will of God. So they can't rationalize. So it couldn't have been the original angels. So there was more jinns up there that we ain't bowing to that much. Because why? Even though it came alive. And Allah turned to the angels and said, tell me your name. Wow. And we named their names that they didn't know, because they said, oh, Allah, we only know what you teach us, Allah. And when we start our father started running those names, they all went down to Satya. Meaning, whoa, this is a great creation. This come out of the, this man comes into the earth, and now the earth is talking. Don't look in the mirror. Ah, I'm a handsome man. Look, I'm so sharp. Like all these, I'm so pretty. We talking to ourselves. My mouth is moving. My face is moving. My head is moving. My arms is moving. All that earth is moving. And we speak it. But Evelyn said, I refuse to bow down to the earth, even though it's talking to me. But Allah says to him, you get out of heaven. And if you get out of heaven, you come up through that atmosphere. Whoa, he had to come up to heaven. Suddenly he lived on earth in the desert where you don't go. But that jinn was highly intelligent. Why, he was leading the angels because he can rationalize. And he said to Allah, oh God, give me permission. He begged for permission to train, to show Allah that he can come from the left, the right, front, and the back and twist us up, that we give up on God. He said, not my righteous and my belief and my soldiers, not the ones that submit totally to the will of God, you will not get. And all those who follow you, you and them will go to the hellfire. That means Satan was not in hell. He was not in the fire, even though it was made out of smoke as fire. But that's something you should think about, that how that earth moved, and how I'm talking through you with the earth. Because if you move the earth while we're alive, you would run like hell because we would be numbers skeletons. So Allah had to cover us with earth. But the earth is not us. For we give the earth the ability to move. You can't get on a bus, a train, or a plane, or automobile without your spirit. We all went to the cemetery. Why? Because our spirit is in us. So the spirit takes you wherever you want to go. But if the spirit is not there, you can't move. Why? You're no longer a person, because that person that committed sin or good is not in there. So you got to carry it, because it can't move. It's dirt. It's mud. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to teach those unintelligent people of the face of the planet Earth called Arabs, you worship God. You worship the earth like it's God. He is saying to them, you are practicing paganism. So he had to move them away from that. And y'all have returned back to that. I know. You say, Marab says everything. Go check it out. Read it for yourself. And you'll find out it is stupidity that you think that your mother and father left here dead. Your stupidity that you think your son, your daughter have left here. We don't die. We evolve. Now, let's listen to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he said. When that brother said, oh, Rasuli, you standing up for the enemy. The enemy at that time was the Jews. Sit down. Don't give respect to that Jew. He said, that's God's earth. To his companion, that's God's earth. That earth didn't curse nobody. That individual that was in that earth cursed it. It ain't there no more. So stand up for God's creation. Yo. Now we got it. That's God's creation. The earth don't, but yet we don't fell victim to paganism unconsciously.
Did that earth, did it say Shahada? Did he do Shahada Tain? or is not allowed in this earth. That's God's earth. He came from the earth. No, this is my earth. This earth is Musta. The whole earth is a Musta. I promised it a lot. Every part of the earth is God's homelessness. Some reason someone came along and took us back to slavery unconsciously. And it's a sin. It's a disgrace that you're losing your wife. You're losing your children. You done got souls, you don't want no children. You got souls, you can't have no children. You're all messed up. Well, hell, Allah chose you not to have any children, and he gave you another purpose on this world. Why don't you teach the children? You got a whole lot of children to teach. Why don't you respect the children? Why don't you give back to the children? Thought it was just your children? Because on the final day of judgment, God says to the man, tell me what you have done. I took care of my wife. I gave you a beautiful wife, didn't I? Yes. I rewarded you, didn't I? Yeah. Tell me what you've done. I took care of my children. But I gave you beautiful children, didn't I? Yes. What have you done for humanity? Well, I took care of my mother and father. You wouldn't be here, everyone, for your mother and father. So Allah is saying, I reward you. Don't tell. I don't want to hear that. What have you done for humanity? Well, Lord, I didn't have any children. I helped so many children. Alhamdulillah. Lord, I took care of everybody's children that I could take care of, sir. This is a man talking. But Allah is saying to him through Angel Jabir. Angel Jabir talks for Allah. Allah sends them. They all work strictly for Allah. The death angel works strictly for Allah. So when the angel's speaking, that is Allah. So Allah is talking to you. You don't even know it. What have you done for humanity? And when you do things you don't have to do, that's the barakah. When you got children, when you don't have children, when you rich or you poor, when you ugly or good looking, whether you cripple and can't walk, all of us owe a debt to Allah. And you got to pay that debt in the final day of judgment. So what have you done for humanity? We'll cut up in tribes. So because we'll cut up, we'll never be successful. Never, ever. For Allah can erase us from this earth, because he says it. I'll pick a group of people that won't sin. I'll erase them from the earth and replace them with one that will sin. Because sinning allows you to repent. Oh, I heard a preacher about Adam committed a sin. And he ate from that tree. And he was told not to eat from that tree. And because he died of a sin, and you thought that meant a physical death, a mortal death. No, when you sin, you die. But you can repent. So Adam repented. So that means you don't die physical. You got time to repent and beg for forgiveness, and Allah will erase it from you. So if he didn't sin, we wouldn't have sinned. We'd have been perfect. How are you going to be perfect with that jinn that's in you? They said to the prophet, O prophet of God, O Rasuli, is the jinn in you? He said, yes, the jinn in me. I made my jinn Muslim. Now, brothers and sisters, I didn't make my jinn Muslim. I'm working on him, but he's a sympathizer. Because we all sin. But it's the same. It's a disgrace that you would sacrifice your heart, you would sacrifice your spirit. You see, brothers and sisters, my wives that I've had when I was 16 years old. I never looked at a woman for how beautiful she was and what her hair looks like and how gorgeous she was. That was not my way of looking at a female. But I saw her heart, and her heart was a good heart. And even though she might have been poor and may not have had anything, it might have been that the hell she went through. But the heart is everything. And so I learned about the heart. And one day I was at the masjid, and they allowed me to do the kupa. And I spoke on the heart because I study the heart. I know how deep that God goes down in the heart. And because God goes deep in the heart, no one can go that deep in the heart. And so I was teaching on the heart. When I got finished teaching, foreigners crowd around me. Now, they caught me because the man said, when you get a kupa, he said, go in the center of where the people are and make your tusum. He said, but don't do it up front. Let them know when you got off that roster, you sin just like that. You lie just like that. You just like them. You just their brother. I never thought that was going to happen. So they crowd around me. I couldn't make my son. And they grabbed me and hugged me. And they said these words to me. Can you come back every week? I said, no. It's not my home. I was invited. Well, can you ask the imam let you come back once a week? I said, brother, I don't ask for things like that. If I'm invited, I come. If I'm not invited, I don't come. And the brother grabbed my hand and hold on to it. He said, I never heard you. These are foreign brothers. This is not my African-American brother, because as I looked over them, eight that was around me, I saw my brothers with their mouth out in awe. All of them was in awe. They saw these men around me that is not from this country. And he started crying. And he's crying, telling me he never heard this before. We have a gift, and we don't even know we have a gift. And why we have a gift? Why did Allah show them what Allah gave to us for 400 years of slavery? No other people on the face of the planet Earth, including my Jews. This might be their 78th year of the Holocaust, but 400 years. They took our culture, they took our language, they took our nationality, they took our children, our mothers, our fathers. They took our religion as well as our God from us. 400 years, we deserve to be the Khalifa. We deserve to be able to call them back to prayer. And we think that Bilal was just someone that popped up. But how is this man a slave, an African? How is he an African? Never heard the prophet but a few times. And when the pagans were trying to kill him, he said, I believe in one God. And they put the rock on Bilal. I believe in one God. He said, you slave, you're my slave. How many God is it? One God. And the rock was too heavy. And he stuck his finger out. And he said, one God. Abu Bakr paid to free him. And he came amongst the companions, African, black, and you can't put no cut on him. And everybody was blowing a horn. Ooh, that means come to prayer. And they were ringing the bell. Ding, 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 and they came to prayer. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked one every time it was prayer, different ones called to prayer with a bell. or horn. And he took that applicant. He's a Bilal. Called the prayer. Bilal climbed the Kaaba. Got on top of the Kaaba. And put his hands up by his ear. And he said, Allah. Brothers, this prophet wouldn't call nobody else. He was calling everybody that heard his voice to prayer. What did that mean? Well, today, they tell you that that one finger that they even put out is Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And look how they say it to you. They said the prophet, when he heard revelation, he told Allah he could not read. Then he tried again, told Allah he could not read. And the third time when Allah told him to read, he shook. And that's why we use our finger. Oh, brother, you're a liar. You want to take that away from Bilal. Now, I'm not saying he didn't shake, but it wasn't no one finger. That one finger is Bilal, but they don't want you to know that a black man was the one why we point our finger out. And we are Bilal heads. Amen. Try to get it to stick, but you ain't forget the word Bilal in. And being a Bilal in is we are calling them all to prayer. Here in North America, where we don't have money to go to Pakistan, but Pakistan is here. We don't have money to go to Turkey, but Turkey is here. Syria is here. Saudi Arabia, but Saudi Arabia is here. Should I go on? China. For the African-American, so-called American Negro, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, the lost and found has been found. And today we speak the language of our ancestors who said, oh Allah, we will suffer the balance of suffering and we will submit to this individual that walk and talk and look like us, meaning human. But please, Lord, take care of our offspring. For if our mothers and fathers, our ancestors can come back now and see that the Bilalians, the tongue they took away from us, our language, the way we make salat, we are saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Now we are now standing upright. Qiyam, we go down and ruku, we come back up, and we go down and sajda as we was in the womb of our mothers. How you let anybody come in and change all of that? Brothers and sisters, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was so smart. He said, don't let the foreigners in. You took it literally. He didn't say don't do business with them. He didn't say don't love them as your brothers and sisters. Don't let them in your bosom. Do not let them in your bosom, because unlike subtract, and a like repels. You won't want to look like, dress like them. You want to talk like them. And now you think like them. The most intelligent people on the face of earth that were trying to kill little girls. You know, brothers, since I was watching a movie called Saudi Arabia, I'm talking about today, on the hand cameras, and they beat women. They beat men. They chop heads off. They chop women's heads off. And they got a place called the chop area. That's where they chop heads, and they got drainers that all the blood goes down. I'm saying to myself, in this day and time, I'm watching these sisters getting their head cut off. I'm watching because she killed somebody. I don't know, but they chopped her head. They chopped their hands. They do, and they beat them. I see them just beat women, throw them on the ground. They can't even look at a man. If a man's so angry that day, he'll just smack the hell. He don't even know if she's married or she's not. Don't care. They expose it. But how I see it, has never been a holy city. I knew that, and now it's clear. It's not a holy city. I knew it couldn't be holy because the city, used to, that part of the world used to be Becca. But they hate the women so bad, they made it Mecca. And now they've changed it to Saudi Arabia. How is all this happening? But that's not why we go there. We go there because the Qibla. Yes, that's our home. That's our house. That's where we turn towards the Kaaba. And when you turn towards the Kaaba, you make your salat. That's what brings us together all over the world. But Allah says in the Holy Quran, turning towards the east is not righteousness. Whoa! Is not righteousness. Meaning you can close your eyes and blindfold yourself and roll on the floor and stand up. And you don't know if you're going to turn to the east or the west. But you're making satya. Allah knows your heart. So you ain't gonna know where the campus is and which way is the east. Turn yourself towards the east is not righteousness. See, Allah tells you all this in the Holy Quran. So what I'm saying to us, we are gifted. Now these brothers can read this Quran blindfolded from front to the back. And these men are rich with oil, oil, brothers and sisters. Allah gave them oil for embracing Al-Islam, and they thought it was dirty water. They thought it was a curse. That's how unintelligent they were. Now they got oil, and they're rich with it. But we, the so-called American Negro, we who followed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we have came up from the mud of civilization. We are rich. We are rich with the spirit of the Quran. When you come over here, you'll find out we don't smoke. We don't drink. I'm talking about the ones that follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. 99% of them, we don't smoke. We don't drink. We don't run around with women. We don't pimp women. We don't sell people things we will not eat. You got your own brother that does that. That he will sell you something to make you think it's halal. Well, Allah got a punishment for him. Now, what you don't eat, Allah will bless you. Because all the vitamins that's in the enzymes that you eat, Allah replaced it where it should go. And all that waste, he sends it out the other way. You ain't in charge with that. The angels are in charge with that. So we trust in Allah. We soldier for Allah. We don't fear nothing but Allah. But now they got you in fear. And I'm saying to you, and I stand on Mount Everest, any imam, whether he's on the radio, whether he's on TV, whether he's putting it right or coming to your masjid, and tell you to take that syrup and stick it in your arm, it's got to be a devil. Now, not a devil in the sense of the word of Iblis, because he ain't intelligent enough to be him. But he's an imp, and he works for them, and don't care nothing about you. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you right now, I will not tell you what to take and what not to take, but I'll be damned if I try to tell you to say and take something you have no knowledge of, none whatsoever. Drink that water in Newark. And I know that water is dirty. I know that water got all kinds of filth in it. But they just woke up to tell you that? How did we survive all these years drinking that water? We didn't know. So Allah protect us. How we come through 400 years of eating slop? Well, they didn't give us the pig meat. They gave us the tail, the guts. They gave us the ears. They gave us the nose. They gave us everything that they throw away. We was eating. But did we die? Did we just fall out? Oh, we had the mumps, the measles, all that stuff they gave us. And we survived. Survived on what? Our faith that we can live. And our mothers that tried every keep us healthy. Today, you don't trust your mama. Today, you won't eat the right things for you. Today, you trust them. How in the hell do you trust someone that's been trying to kill us for 400 years? What do you think that they just woke up and said, oh, we're going to help y'all to be equal to us? Oh, hell no. That's why they gave you Jesus to look like them, so you can worship them. We had nothing else to worship because we used to sing, our ancestors used to sing a song. What was the name of that song? You can have this land. You can have this gold, but give us Jesus. And you thought it was Jesus Christ. No. The name of that boat that brought us over here was Jesus. We wanted to get back on Jesus. But when they wouldn't let us do that, and they was torturing us so bad, called pick a nigger, well, they call picnic today, and they put you on the grill. They put you in boiling hot water after they come out of the church, and then they eat you. They was very barbaric. And then your wife come running out because you hung her husband, and they hang you. Butt naked, rip your baby out of your stomach, throw the head on the ground, and stomp it. Oh, you forgot? You forgave? Oh, we ain't. They think you want to kill them. That's why they're fearful that you're going to get them to the power and kill all them. Man, that's not in our mind. Those people are gone. We're going to take it out on their children? I don't think we think like that, but they don't believe that. They believe that they got to kill us. Now they got you smoking reefer. Now just think about it. The reefer sent you to jail 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Today, let them all out of jail and make the reefer legal. And it's messing your brain up. It's going straight to your brain. And it's messing your brain up. And you think that the Caucasian wants you to proudly believe they're going to make you safe. And they won't tell you the statistics that everybody's dying from that needle. Now, I talked to many people, and they spoke to me. I don't answer them. Who am I? I'm sure they're not Allah. But if you ask me a question, that needle. And I use this phrase. I thought it was my little baby, but it's one that's the middle child. He come home crying mommy and daddy. We come running because we thought something was wrong. So he said, I didn't eat it. He told me, if I can't read it, don't eat it. So eat what? He said, it's in my bag, my ice cream. And I smiled. I thought that was cute. Over his bag was ice cream cone. That little boy would not eat that ice cream cone because he couldn't read it. Take a needle that you can't read. And then all the scientists tell you, well, we don't know what's in it. And the FDA said, oh, hell no, we can't approve it. But they never test it. Well, yes, they are. They tested it on you because you are still that 3/5 of a human being. So they tested it on the animal. You the animal. Stick it in there. But guess what? It backfired. They scared so many people that they running around saying, I don't want these black people to get this medicine. So all the rich was taking up the medicine. You should say 100 law. And they dying like flies. And they won't show it to you like President Donald Trump said fake news. They want you to do it. They offering you money. They paying people $20,000 to say you should take the needle. But how is it that a brother grow up with you? You don't think he's being paid? Oh, he's a damn fool. Well, he's getting paid, so he sells you out. This got to stop. If that's what you want to do, may Allah be with you. You might survive. Because only Allah gives life and only Allah gives death. But I'll trust in my herbs. I'll trust in my doing what I need to do. And then they found out the mass is the worst in the history. Too many babies, they know it's catching up. So now they tell you, take the mask off and millions of people. But they ain't telling you in France. In France, brothers and sisters, not 200,000, not 1 million. Over 3 to 5 million is marching in France saying, get that needle, that syrup, the hell out of our country. Oh, they don't tell you that.
Oh, where do you get that one from?
Because you got to search for it. They are upset what they did to them in India. India told them, get the hell out of here, Bill Gates. And they ain't telling you that the president over there in Africa ran him the hell out. And guess what? He's dead. That's what they do. They kill you. You stop the black man from dying, you're a dead person. And keep in mind, all the people that are locked up for herbs, smoking reefer ain't out yet. Because they saying, we get $75. And this prison only can hold 1,000 people. We got 5,000 inmates. Okay, take half, but don't take them all. I can go on and on and on and on and on, and all this is in the order to have. But you don't want your own brother to teach you, because who the hell is he? He suffered like I did, grew up in a project. What makes him this? And Allah punish you because you got nothing. You're all in trouble. So I woke up. I woke up. You just look on my Facebook and you will see that I found the next world champion. I didn't go look for him. The FBI brought him to me and said they've been following this kid ever since he was in amateur. And they asked Warren Black, who should we go with? He said, Ari Marad. If I can get him to come back, because he's the most honest man in the history of boxing. See, I like that. And so I took this kid, and it's only his second fight. I said, push that button. Well, it's not a button. There was a block there, and it says, Anthony Imape. Just push it. For the first time in life, put to your Muslim brother. Now, you ain't going to push it because some of y'all are selfish. Some of y'all will push it for someone else, but you want your brother. But guess what? I got thousands of the Italians that's going to push that button. Why? I chose to go to humanity. Those are Muslims. Do they know they're Muslim? No, they do not. But I know they're the children of Adam. And so I decide I'm coming out of this poverty. I've been down here too long. Muhammad the Prophet was in exile for 10 years. This is my 10th year. It's time for me to now go back where I've been and create these meals. And I sat and talked to so many people, and I said, okay, do it this way, do it that way. It's called unity. But y'all thought it was unity just with black folks. You ain't going nowhere with black folks. If you in the same hole that you call masjid, Imam, you say it's a disgrace that you take these little buildings and make them a masjid. Where do we get this from? Selfish, want to be by yourself. But collectively, we could have all of Chancellor Avenue could be ours. Chancellor Avenue could have been ours. Lions Island could have been ours. And when you come there, they call New Africa. But they broke that up. You don't want to be New Africa. You want to be a foreign brother from a country. And you know what bothers me? And I'm going to leave you with this. that the reason why you got to go to Arafat out of all those 9 months, I'm sorry, 9 days, of making all those rituals, going around the Kaaba 7 times, running from mountain to mountain 7 times, stoning the devil 7 times, all that means nothing if you don't get to Arafat. And then on Arafat, you got to take those little clothes off that covers your privacy. And you got to get dressed in your culture. You have to get dressed in your culture. And the woman does not have to get dressed. Why? She didn't curse the world. We did. So you got to get dressed in your culture so we can know one from another. But North, Jersey City, Hillside, East Orange, you name them, they're not in their culture, for they're dressed like the foreigners. So the foreigners saying, he don't live over here. Why is he dressed like me? Where's his culture? Brother, I'm from Saudi Arabia. That's our clothing. What nationality is you? Brother, I'm from Pakistan. I'm from... Why are you dressing in my clothes and you don't live in my country? Where is your culture? We are so highly intelligent, we got out of our skin. And we think the clothing that we are wearing is Al-Islam. Well, it can't be if you ain't got your culture on in Arafat. So really, indirectly, unintelligent, you didn't do high. Because you didn't put your clothes back on. Where is your culture? But see, Allah is merciful. He know you are unintelligent. And he know if you would study, you wouldn't have done. Think he'll give us a pass. But then we come back here after praying with our sisters, going around the Kaaba, making duas, trying to kiss the brass stone. The sister's right with you. And as soon as you come back into the United States of America, you do what they do in Saudi Arabia. You put them down in the basement. You put them upstairs. You don't even allow them to sit in the masala to see who in the world is doing the kupa, as if they are highly unintelligent. It can't be, because they came here with us as one. One Omar, but yet they can't sit in the masala. Surely you can't make prayer behind them. Everybody know that's common sense. But they ain't looking at your butt. They can be behind you. Matter of fact, they can be inside you. But the woman is still left back after coming through the fifth pillar of Al-Islam. We went right back to the tradition, put them in the back. They don't have no voice. Isn't that something? It's got to change. You sit there with your own shore boy and not one woman, as if the woman don't have a mind. So let's look at it. Allah says we are one. But he did put the man in charge. But why? Why, Lord? Do she have more soul than I have? No, she has the same soul. Well, Lord, what about her deen al-fitr? Is it different than mine? No. She's equal. Well, Lord, what about her spirit? Is it a different color? The same spirit. Well, Lord, what about our taqwa, our conscience? No. That's your womb, womb man. Well, Lord, what makes us be in charge? Masculine. Your masculine ability. Whoa. That's it? That's it. Yes, the woman can fight, but you fight first. Now, you die, she won't fight. That masculine ability will come out of her. But until then, you do the fight. You protect the womb. You protect the earth. But if you fall, here she comes. That's it, brothers and sisters. Nothing else. And man proved that. They got women lifting weights. They got women boxing. They got women fighting. You got women doing martial arts. You got women doing a whole lot of things. If it was up to man, the woman probably would dominate. But Allah ain't going to let that happen. So this is the stupidity that we see, and we're not going nowhere. So they look at us. Don't ever think they don't look at us. They come amongst us. They sit amongst us to see how stupid you could be. They did a survey in Wheatway Park, talking amongst themselves. They said, how is it that Emmanuel Wallace Muhammad's community is separated from the other three communities? And it ain't like they a whole group of, away from them. They ain't like the other one that's with them. So you got four groups with four different schools of thought, and they all grew up in the same area. They go. Don't let me come on live, because I won't give it to you straight. And I see these things happening, but I'm going to close out because I said I was not going to do 2 hours. And I'm going to stick to that. Inshallah, I'll be on tomorrow from 7 to 8. That's my how I went viral 3 times. So I got to come back on at that time. But I want to say to you out there in real land that if I said anything to hurt anybody, that was not my intention. And I beg you for forgiveness. But I believe I love you more than you love me. And if I said anything that you think is incorrect. Well, I do make mistakes. And we say, subhanAllah, that's why the woman could be in prison, because she has a right. If you quote in the Quran and you make a mistake, because you're human, she can say out loud, subhanAllah. But not on Fridays. That's a special day, not God's day. Every day is God's day, a special day that if you only but know, you rush to Juma, because that's new life. And that's the problem I have. They have now opened up with the hadith. They read scripture from some diabolical mind, and they just doing anything, and any man accepts it by saying, thank you. I better not be any man. I said, brothers and sisters, this ain't no second cover. But I will correct a lot of mistakes that gentleman just did. If y'all don't want to stay back, it's okay. I want the record to reflect that I don't accept 20 mistakes that the young man made. I cannot let him come back and just read. See, you have to protect your community. That's the masculine. And if you don't protect your community, then you're part of it, if you agree to it. You hear people saying, such and such and such and such and such and such, and one will holler out, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Or he'll holler out something else. Yeah, we should kill everybody, alhamdulillah. You didn't even hear what he said. You didn't hear nothing that he said. So we have to listen. More important, you have to read. And the angel just came to me and tell him that Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu never said, read in the Holy Quran 3 times. Ekra. 1. Allah don't need to tell you 3. But the other 2 is he struggled in his mind trying to figure it out. And he struggled in his words trying to deliver it. Because he struggled, Allah said, read. And he began to read. That's the 3, but it ain't in the Quran. But if I said anything that allowed you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your being, I would picture the nature in which you've been created. We say from Allah we came, from Allah we return. Where do you return, brother? You don't ever mention to the people that listen to you make that statement. Where you return? You think you return to the grave? That's where you come from? Or you think you're going to the grave and you're going to return to Allah? No, you're going to return to your deen, our picture that you got away from it. So get it straight. From Allah you came. Right. Because his spirit was breathed, and Allah, you will return to what? Your DNA of the picture, the nature in which he created you, right back to your fingertips. And you will not look like this day earth, this old earth. Allah will make us new. And if you come to your taqwa, all of that, don't give me the credit. God's consciousness. Give that credit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify his name. I greet you from Adam, our biological father. I greet you from our father of the intellectual mind of all nationalities, Ibrahim. Don't say Abraham, Ibrahim. Don't spell it with an E. No, it's I, Ibrahim. And Ibrahim is our father of our intellectual mind. He found Allah on his own because he searched for it. Ekra, he was reading. And I greet you from Jesus, Jesus Christ. Christ means Muslim. And our brother came here, and he said, I came to do the work of my Lord, but they wrote Father. That's okay. Allah knows your heart. I'm going to do what Allah asked me to do. He's a Muslim. And he didn't die on no cross. He was not crucified. The Quran says he was crucified not. Why would Allah let his prophet, sorry, his messenger, because he's not, Allah has no prophets, his slave servant, messenger, die on a cross? And I greet you from Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, and we thank Allah giving us a mercy in Prophet Muhammad 1,400 years ago. And we salute him with the excellent suit, that salutation, prayers and peace be upon the prophet and his descendants and his companion. But I don't want you to misconstrue that we are not repeating Jesus. Well, you thought Jesus was the Son of God. God has no children and no partners and no association. He's absolutely one. He needs no association. But you say he's God. You want to make that mistake, and those who have, Allah knows your heart. So that's what you call, but your heart says Allah. But we salute the prophet because there's a whole lot of prophets came before him. One brother said 2,500. I don't care if it's men. When we salute the prophet, that's for all of them that I did not mention. Isn't that merciful? When we salute the seal of the prophet, meaning no more coming. But all the ingredients of those prophets is what made the seal of the prophet. And that's why we can greet him. And those greetings is for Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Joseph, Shagon. You name all. And some we can't mention. But when we salute the prophet, we salute all of them. I would like to make a dua and say, O Allah, for those who took the needle, whether they shot themselves once or twice, we ask Allah to save them, for they not know what they was doing. And O Allah, for those who are sick, we pray they can get better, and we try to create a way that they can go to the hospital and have doctors look over them. Yes, we're working on that, Lord. And oh Allah, bless those who have given and helped the needy. Those who go cut down the bushes and the weeds in the backyard of our seniors. and we can get more into health. We can do a lot for our seniors. And we have a brother out there doing just that, Abdullah Muhammad. And may Allah grant him Jannah when he passes for doing that for our seniors. And those who are in the nursery home, because their wives can't take care of, but brothers and sisters, you keep them in your home is the best thing you can do, because they're killing them in those nursery homes. For Allah can protect them. And those who don't have it but love to give it, we ask Allah to bless you with good intentions. Allah knows your heart. You want to give, but you don't have it to give. And I lost three of my loved ones. I killed my baby sister's son. He was the baby son I killed. And then Jimmy, my oldest, who passed away, that was her only son. And you have Rajan. Rajan, I raised him. He was a very intelligent man. And he left this world 5 days before he passed away, was all at dinner. Came out to $150. I'm sorry, $350. And everybody was pitching in. He took his credit card out and he said, I'll pay for it. And I told him, no, you're not. I made him put it back in his pocket. And then 5 days later, he's deceased. But look how he left here. He was given to charity. Oh, y'all may not see that, but that is large in my eyesight. Look at his heart. We ask Allah to separate their faults from their goodness, as thou separate each from us, and grant them gender. Fear Allah, Almighty speaks the truth. I shall return to Salah tomorrow at 7 to the 9, and we'll have a new topic. Inshallah. And look for my new boxer and support him. $20. Everybody got $20. I'm making a statement to this world that look what we can do collectively. 1 million. 1 million gave $20. Do the math. We can build our own schools, our own hospitals. We can hire our own lawyers and doctors. Yes, we can build homes for the needy. We have to have a vehicle. And Streamline is a vehicle. And I master the TV network. I master closed circuit. I master pay-per-view. And now I'm getting involved in streaming. My prediction, inshallah, I can do $100 million, $100 million in 1 year. And when I do that, watch me do $1 billion in 1 year. And if I can do that, the sky's the limit. But it ain't just for me. What I'm gonna do? I got 1 foot in the grave, 1 out. But I want to give to those that don't have. That's the needy first. Inshallah. Peace and love. Assalamu alaikum.